Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I did go first, right, Mike? Okay, good. I've got with me the hymnal here. No, I'm not going to be singing a cappella or any hymnal here, or song. But I would like to turn to hymn 181 in our hymnal. And to begin my split sermon, I would like to read the first line in the chorus of hymn 181. It reads, "United we pray, let us always remember to honor these days which are holy time." We're living in holy times. In a couple of weeks, we will begin the spring holy day season. Thank God for that. What I want to talk about here today concerns our need when communicating to our Father, God in heaven, through prayer. More so, to have unity in prayer. And that's the name of my split sermon today, is Unity in Prayer. Prayer is where we have the opportunity and the privilege to have a personal relationship and contact with our Father through the very sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been given that glorious access. Those who are baptized members of God's church will be partaking of the Passover service that will be here in a couple of weeks, reaffirming our beliefs and faith in God the Father and His words and His Son Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Yeah, we are serving one another when we pray for others, showing that oneness of mind, body, and spirit, the outflowing love for each other that we are admonished to have and to show for one another each day. A definition of the word unity is the state of being one, a whole or totality as combining all its parts into one. The state or fact of being united or combined into one. As you see, there's the repeating of the word one, being united. Oneness of mind, feelings, as among a number of people, as we are here today that I'm looking out over, the number of people in harmony, in oneness. Yeah, we are to be examining ourselves to see where we continue to fall short, but also to see the areas where we have accomplished and overcome and made improvements from last year. Our day today anxieties and worries are areas that could use the reinforcing words of Matthew 6 in verse 27. So if you would turn with me to Matthew 6. In verse 27, we read, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Or reading it another way, "Which of you, by worrying or being worried, can add one cubit unto his or her growth?" Anxieties and worries are something that we need to be replacing with prayer on a daily basis. There's a lot going on in the world out there. A lot of news, a lot of things that are very upsetting that we need to be paying closer attention in our prayers to God and being united in those prayers. We are not to be too overly concerned about this life. It's easier said than done, but we should not be overly concerned, but stay focused in the right direction, that being our trust and our faith in God. Our unity in prayer for that daily relationship with God helps to reinforce that closeness, not only for us, but for those that we are praying for. I'm sure we all could apply ourselves more in this area. And I'm speaking for myself because I know I should be doing more in that area. We read in Psalm 66, so if you would turn with me to Psalm 66. In verse 19, "But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." Verse 20, "Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." We read here where God hears our prayers. And as long as we are striving to flee sin, he will not turn away our prayers nor his mercy from us. In our examining, are we asking ourselves? We should always be asking, what parts of our life have we gotten too complacent, too comfortable with, that we are still blind to, not seeing that it is contrary to God's way of life? Are there things in our life that we are so close to that it doesn't register? Always ask yourself, are we there yet? As long as we're human, as long as we're carnal, we're not there yet. Only until Christ returns and we become spirit beings. I want to relate to you a trip that I recently took a couple of weeks ago to Phoenix. It was a business trip. And as finance leaders, we were gathering there to examine our business, where we're examining ourselves for this upcoming Passover season. We were there to examine our performance over the last year. So I got to comparing the two. There were people there from around the world for our business. And just like us in the church, we're around the world. And no, I must say this is not an infomercial for my business. It's not a commercial, although it may start sounding like one. It really isn't, trust me. Within my business, we have a vision. And that vision is to become world-class, to be the best company there is in our category of business, which is crop nutrition. This means being the best at all aspects of our business. We have a mission statement that says we're to help the world grow the food it needs. I got to thinking about that because we, each one of us, we are giving the world the spiritual food that it needs. That's God's word by the preaching of the gospel. But also notice in business that even back in the 70s and 80s, we used to have an opening prayer at these meetings. They probably wouldn't even know what an opening prayer is. It's just business. They just get right into it. There's nothing said about God in these meetings. The company was committed, or is committed, to the safety of our employees, just like we, with our brethren, our unity in prayer, we are concerned and we're committed to each and every one. We're committed to producing the best products, our on-time delivery, and no off-ship or off-spec shipments. Yeah, I told you it sort of sounded like a commercial, but it really isn't. I'm getting to a point here. Educating the public on our environmental and natural resource stewardship, our community involvement and support. Well, we as Christians, we're to be stewards for God's creation. And we are to also be participating and also involved in our communities where we live. My company is committed to helping our customers meet their needs and higher yield for their crops and investments. Just like we as Christians, we're to be getting a higher yield from these services, from Sabbath, from the holy days, from the messages that we are hearing, from reading God's word and praying to God. We are building that higher yield through God's Spirit, striving for that goal, which is eternal life with God. Our company knows that it takes the total commitment of each individual in the company to work for the same goals and same objectives. And we, as Christians, in our unity and prayer, are to be one church, one body. At this meeting, we heard from our top executives, from our chief executive officer to our chief financial officer, and various members of our senior leadership teams. We heard good points about the company, but we also heard where we are to improve, where we have been as a company, where we are, and what is to come. You know, we hear the words, and we study God's words, and we meditate on these words. Again, this tells us that in our minds and by our relationship with God, where we have been, where we came from, where are we at now? We're sitting here on God's Sabbath, listening, you know, worshiping God and His Son, Jesus Christ. In business, we're always to hold ourselves to a high standard, ethical standard, and work to become one company, not separate groups doing their own thing. And again, as a spiritual body, the church, we are to hold ourselves to a high ethical standard as well. We, as the body of Christ, are to be one mind, one heart, and one soul to do and to live the commandments of God, to live godly lives, to seek God daily through the study of His scriptures, meditating, fasting, and prayer. A very high standard. Examining ourselves to see where we have been, where we are, and where we are striving to be in the future. Because we know what's ahead. There are trying times coming, and we need to be on our knees more and more to receive that reinforcement from God and His promises that He will be there for us during these times. One thing in our business, dealing with our computer systems, are at times they will basically just stop. This is called a timeout because there's just so much massive information trying to process, it just can't handle it. But within our system, there's something called a refresh button. It's supposed to be an answer to all refresh. But even that isn't enough sometimes to even get it to run to completion. Very aggravating, I can guarantee you that. But comparing that to us, the only timing out in our life is when we neglect our daily contact with our Father and Jesus Christ. You know, if we miss these daily opportunities to talk with God, then we are not growing, and we are playing a very serious losing game of missing out on God's great blessing and gift for us. That being a very part of His eternal family. Our prayer life doesn't need a refresh button. We can use prayer any time of day or night, but no worries of getting a busy signal or system error. God is always there. And these holy days of God that are coming up, we are so much in need of unity and prayer for each one of us. That is a way for us to be serving one another. Whenever we read in the Bible where it says Jesus prayed, these are the scriptures that we really need to focus on to see what is really being said by Jesus. Because if you pay close attention, you can place yourself in those exact words that he's talking about and apply it to your life today, or those times that are coming where we will need those exact words to be praying to the Father. So if you would, turn with me to John 17. In John 17, we see where Jesus is praying to the Father. This was after the Passover service. Very moving words from verses 1 through 26. In verse 1, we read, "These words spoke Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." We're a part of that. Jesus just wasn't praying for his disciples at that time. We will see later where he was praying for those to come. In verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." The times that are coming, there may be moments in our life where we are really pressed and we are really confronted to show that we are true Christians. These words that we see in John 17 could be applied to that future time. In verse 9, we read, Jesus said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours, and all of mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." In verse 15, we read where Jesus said, "I pray not that they should be taken out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." We know that we're fighting against Satan and his demons. We can't do it on our own. And here Jesus is praying for us that God would keep us from the evil one. In verse 16, he said that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So if we drop down to verse 20, Jesus stated, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Notice how that word "one" keeps appearing here. One. Or as we stated in the definition of unity, one. "I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one," or perfect in unity, and that the world may know that you have sent me and hast loved them as you have loved me. Each Sabbath, we meet we have time to fellowship with others of like mind. But there are those, and you could probably look around and possibly see some that are not here, either due to sickness, illness, whatever the reason. You know, how many of us have experienced God's intervention by His answering our prayers or those prayers that have been given on our behalf by others? I know I have, either for my family, direct family, or my grandkids, my son, my daughters. It's a great thing. And that in itself could be another message, because start to think, how many times has God really intervened in our life that we're not even aware of? You know, that's one thing I would really like to know when I'm a spirit being, is actually do a replay of see the times that God and His angels and Jesus Christ has stepped in and prevented things from happening. It may take a while. It'd probably be a large reel in playback. Yeah, the people that are not here, they're truly missed, our brothers and our sisters. But, you know, we can be united with them through our prayers, always thinking of others. And that's one thing we need to ask ourselves. When we're praying, do we find ourselves mainly talking to God only about yourself, your problems, and your needs? It's a question. Yeah, we definitely need God's help, God's answer, our prayers for our problems, but I'm sure we go beyond the only part. You know, we pray for all others, or as a part of the body of Christ, for those in need, you know, for the church, for the preaching of the gospel, for the men giving the messages each Sabbath, or for the upcoming messages for the holy days, and always for our spiritual family members. I'm sure then we come to our personal needs after the others have been covered first. As I said, I'm standing here, I'm looking out, and I'm seeing brothers and sisters. All of us need our unity in prayer. Back to the meeting that was held in Phoenix, at these gatherings, they usually have a team building effort. You may not be able to see this, but this, our team building effort was, we were to build a bridge out of cardboard and duct tape so that a golf cart with people in the golf cart could ride over that cardboard bridge twice. Very interesting. And the theme of our meeting was discovering our new frontier. And it struck me funny. You know, it's a great company I work for. You know, we have a lot of good things that we do for the environment, for the community, for business. But our own new frontier is the kingdom of God. This business is temporary. God's kingdom is coming. New Jerusalem. Even the whole universe. My company is nothing compared to what God is willing to give us. Eternity. You know, I just got a chill at the back of my neck. I mean, just thinking of it, it's just exciting. You know, our vision has become God class, eternal, because nothing is superior to God. Nothing. Our mission is preaching the gospel and preparing a people. So I would like to turn back to our hymn, 181. But this time I'm going to read the whole chorus. United we pray, let us always remember to honor these days, which are holy time. United in spirit, we worship together with purpose and oneness of mind. United we stand, faithful and true to the one who is Lord Most High. So let's continue to examine ourselves daily, not just here near the Passover season, but daily. Let us continue to grow in godly wisdom, knowledge, love, unity. And let's continue always remember, as part of our unity in prayer, pray to the Father, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done." So, brethren, enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.